and if anything, is a very short little bit of peace and satisfaction. The Proverbs describes it as sin is sweet for a season, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And so the aftertaste of sin is always bitter, but here is real satisfaction. So they're unsatisfied. They are not satisfied with the world. And that's a major issue. They have tried what Jeremiah called the broken cisterns, the things of this world that are tempting and tantalizing and lure people into their pathways. And they have been to the pleasure places. They have tasted what worldly living and worldly ungodly practices do. And maybe they've gone to the quacks and the phonies and the remedies of the world. The world, of course, has many advertised healing sessions for unhappy people, but all of them are empty.
Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you're hungry today for God's Word, because I'm going to preach on the Beatitude. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." And we all know what it's like to feed a child or a baby when the child is hungry. What a joy just to feed the bottle, see that milk get gulped down. And the Lord says similarly to us, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, not for earthly food and sensual pleasure, but for righteousness. Righteousness, the very thing that God demands, that we be right with him and ready for heaven. Now let me read to you Matthew chapter 5 and these opening verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, as I say, I hope that you're hungry today, and hungry for God's word, that this word might fill your heart, and that there will be a blessing in store for you. The Lord Jesus said, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's certainly my prayer today, that your own heart will be filled with joy and gladness as you listen to his word today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
God's way of making men happy is to make them enjoy Christ's righteousness. This is really a gospel answer here. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this righteousness is certainly key. Now on down in chapter 5 in the book of Matthew here, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 20, the Lord Jesus set up the standard. And he said, For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. So this is an amazing standard of righteousness, of holiness, of right living. Who can possibly meet that standard? The Pharisees, they failed utterly. They came very far short of it. Although they were always talking about the law and their own exercises and discipline and so on, yet they were very far from God's mark and God's standard. There's only one man, of course, who was perfectly righteous. And if this was a gospel meeting and I was preaching to unconverted people here tonight, I would lay out the whole life of the Lord Jesus. His miraculous birth, incarnation, sinless birth, sinless nature, the supernatural life that he lived, those who accused him of sin but could find none, those that would judge him but found no fault in him. The whole life of our Lord Jesus was a life of perfect right living, by which he provides for us a blessed, a wonderful, heavenly righteousness. And this becomes now the gospel, that God in his goodness sent his Son to provide a righteousness for us. And we are made to see by the Spirit of God our own failure, our own emptiness, that we could never meet God's standard. We fall short. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then God says to us, here's the way. Look at the life of my Son. Look at his life. Look at his right living. And by faith you may receive that righteousness that Jesus wrought and provided by his perfect life. And you go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, 5, you have the examples of Abraham, who found righteousness by faith alone. But God had to make him thirst and hunger for it. And we know God's dealings with Abraham and how he made him to see his emptiness and his need. And God gave him the provision of a son, of a savior. And out of his seed would come forth the Messiah. And then David as well. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. And in Romans chapter 4, David is held up as a great example of one who has received the righteousness that is by faith alone. Oh, that God would make men in this country of Canada hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and we could preach this great gospel to them. Or people here in Cloverdale. Our challenge is to reach the people around us, but they need to be made thirsty and hungry. We may invite and we may call them in, but it's so often as with that dinner or that festivity that was provided, they went out into the highways and the byways and they wouldn't come in. There's no hunger and no thirst. And then in our own congregation, where's the thirsting and the hungering after God, after this righteousness? And of course, we must preach this gospel to our own people. Those who come to any one of our meetings through the week, we must preach this provided righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And oh, what a happy day when we hear men, women, and young people saying, I must have that. That's what I need. My heart is not satisfied. The world doesn't bring me peace. And I've tried this and that, and I am empty and frustrated, and my soul is parched. You mean to say that Christ can meet every need of my heart? Yes, that's the good news of the gospel. And we must present to them the wonderful provision of God that he has made for all men. Now, God's way of making men happy is to now make them live in the victory of that righteousness. And that applies to you and me tonight. We who have gone down and seen the emptiness of our own hearts, and we've been brought to the cross and we've been brought to Christ, and we have received by faith this gift of perfect righteousness imputed to us to our account, and we're now dressed in the beauty righteousness of the Lord Jesus. But you see, the Christian is not a theorizer. We're not here now to say we're not here to play word games. How can I live this Christian life? This life of being filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Surely the Lord has not saved you and given you the perfect righteousness of his Son for you to live an empty life. That's the point here. Now, when the Lord saves us, he not only gives us pardon, but he gives us power. And that perfect righteousness indeed is our power and gives us a new boldness and new grace. I wish I could preach to you what we learned in the Sunday school hour this morning in Romans 7, of how God takes us out from being under that first Adam. Now we're married to the second Adam, to Christ. And we're no longer under the dominion of sin and the hold of sin and the controlling power of sin. That's broken. And we now are married to Christ. We're under his headship. And as a wife, we're under his control and his provision. What a new life it is. And Paul, he said to those who would say, shall we then continue in sin because we're under grace and not law? Paul argued, no, we're called to newness of life. If we've been dead with Christ and planted together with him, we're also raised with him into newness of life. And this is the satisfying part. This is the part that thrills our hearts. And there's going to now be new and wonderful gospel fruit flowing out of our lives. And so there comes power from the knowledge that our sins are forgiven. Pardoning power is a wonderful thing. It sets us free. We're liberated. And then the supply of this victory is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to our hearts. We're in newness of life, living not after the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit. Would you turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Talk about seeking righteousness, hungering, thirsting after righteousness. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, will you be filled? Will you be satisfied? Will the Lord fulfill that statement? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, the Lord promises here, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So they'll never know anything of this satisfaction, this inner life, this water flowing out of our inner being. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in your margin, you probably have a little word there saying, I will not leave you as orphans. You think of the misery of orphans with no father or mother to care for them. Think of the hungering and the thirsting and the emptiness of orphans that are uncared for. But the Lord says, I care for you. I will nourish you. I will send you another. Come, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll lead you into all truth. And of course, the Spirit of the Spirit is a ministry of truth. And we'll be fed and nurtured, built up in the faith, and helped all the way. Then go down to verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Will we be filled? Is it really true? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus as the perfect righteous one who makes me righteous. Is it true that I will be filled and satisfied? Oh, what a promise here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not the peace the world, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Here is the blessedness. And here is why we can be the happiest people on earth in this church service tonight. And the world thinks we're just following a dream. But praise God, it's real. It's true. Has it reached your heart? Is there a song in your soul tonight? Can you truly say, I've been satisfied by the gospel, the grace of the Lord Jesus? Now, when I read in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit was given, the church was born, and many Christians were brought into fellowship, what is the one thing that stands out in their lives? Joy, happiness, praises. You can't read the early chapters of Acts of the Apostles. You can't read those chapters and not see that they came together in the blessedness of fellowship. And there was joy unspeakable in their souls. You have two men in prison at midnight singing praises. This is the inner peace. This is the filling that the Lord promised to his people. And in doing so, they glorified the Lord. And what a witness was established. They knew they'd been with Jesus. They wouldn't be silent. They were told not to preach this Jesus in Jesus' name. They couldn't be silent. Nothing could stop them because there was an inner power filling them. And that's the work of the gospel. And that's the mark of the man or woman born of the Spirit, living in sweet fellowship. Now, in the few minutes remaining, I want us to take a little switch in direction here. I think I have defined and identified and explained what this statement is and how the Lord fulfills it in the life of a Christian. But I want you to see that God's way of making men happy is to use them to lead others to know righteousness. Not only are we filled in ourselves, but we are blessed by being used of God when others are brought into this righteousness and are also blessed. And this burden to lead others to know God's righteousness, as I said, it's what we find in the book of Acts, this book of evangelism, this bursting desire. All men need to have this message. The Great Commission is that we preach this gospel of imputed righteousness to a lost world. Now, this was the burden of our Lord Jesus himself. When he looked upon the multitudes, they looked as sheep without a shepherd, and the Lord was filled with compassion. That deep-seated yearning of his inner being. He was moved when he saw the people without a shepherd. Likewise, when he wept over Jerusalem, the Lord himself was moved. And of course, he went all the way to the cross that he would be the shepherd that the sheep need. And when we see get a burden for lost men and women who are following the emptiness of this world, its vanity and its lie of deception, then there is within us a willingness. Lord, use me. Make me your messenger. Help me to take the word to lost souls that they might be delivered from the very pit of sin and from the way to hell. And of course, the burden that gets us is when we see lives being wasted. Men, women, boys and girls, and all they're living for is Hollywood and all the drama of this life and all the sham of this life. And we know it's just going to lead to misery. Never mind the vices. Never mind the drugs and the alcohol and the vices of this world that destroy people. And for a moment there's this furore of excitement, but it leads to emptiness and destruction. And so we are burdened for those souls, and we want to be used to deliver them from their emptiness. I think it was Toronto Airport I was sitting at a number of years ago, and I was looking out the aircraft window, and they were remodeling the whole wing of the airport. And you could see the old thing being torn down, the concrete and the steel, what looked like a huge structure from my perspective out that little window, a huge structure. And there were those machines just tearing it all down, ripping it apart, heaps of rubble and concrete stacked up wherever it was being taken. And what a waste. And you think of prior years, what the effort, the cost, the architecture, the design work, the finishing work in a building like that, and then it's just all torn down. And that's the way people live. They're building that will be torn down. And of course, that brings me to the application of the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus talked about the great test. Are you building on the sand, or are you building on the rock? And the storm will come and test your building. And we're burdened tonight when we see people building knowing it will not stand the test. And they might have the fame and popularity and the seeming prosperity of this world upon them, but it won't stand the test of eternity and the judgment. It is now our burden. We hunger and thirst after righteousness for them, for their souls. And as parents, to see children go that way, as grandparents, that's a heartache. That's our hunger and thirst. But I take that promise, they shall be filled. And if we cry to God and witness to our families and to our loved ones and to those we see going the way of the world, that the Lord will hear those cries of our hearts. And we will have the delight of seeing them brought into living in the gospel righteousness of the Lord Jesus. What a day, what a thrill that will be. And to see them in glory one day. Let's take that to the Lord in prayer and let's cry to God that He will indeed use that. So to be truly satisfied, we need a life that's building for the glory of God. And that will bring us to be truly, truly filled. And so let's apply the Lord's own test. Are we building on sand or building on the rock? I trust tonight you are building on the rock. The gospel righteousness, the finished work of the cross, the perfect life of another, and the wonder that that is now transferred to you and put to your account. My homiletics teacher back in Ireland, Dr. Cook, he used to illustrate, you know, how to preach to people, you know, this laying our sins in Jesus. And he would use this illustration of his Bible. That's your sin. That black Bible is your sin. And when you call on the Lord to save you, that sin is lifted off you and the Lord Jesus takes it upon himself. So you are free from sin. But of course, that's the negative part. That's the sin dealt with. The wonderful thing is that the Lord's righteousness, His perfect life, and if I had a white back book now, I could illustrate this better. If I had a book with a white back, if you think of the white righteousness, and you now transfer that back again. So He takes away the black sin and lays upon us His white righteousness to our account. And that becomes our hope and our standing. And that's what satisfies. And when you've had a bad day and you feel you're a real failure and everything has gone so wrong and you're frustrated, praise God, you still have that righteousness of Christ. That has not changed. That's steadfast and true for eternity. And then we can go on our knees and say, Lord, I thank you that you're not saving me by my performance and by my works and my goodness. I was an absolute failure today in every way, but I just want to thank you for the perfect righteousness of my Savior. And so on the close of the worst day of your life, you can get on your knees and thank God for a perfect righteousness. That's the peace that the world cannot give and cannot take away. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and on this message today, I just have a few thoughts, a few questions. We have learned here today that when the Lord saves us, He gives us pardon and power over sin.
So everyone who claims to be pardoned from sin will be walking in newness of life. And this comes from the reality that if we have been planted into his death and we have been joined to Christ, united to him in his sacrificial death, then we are also united to him in his resurrection. And just as Jesus had to die and rise again, we as believers in the Lord Jesus, we die to sin, that is cut off. We're no longer under the old nature, condemned by the law or the curse. We are now in Christ for pardon, but we also have his power. And that is what makes the Christian life sweet. We have new life, new power, and we walk with God. And it's all because we have the knowledge of our sins forgiven, and the Holy Spirit witnesses to us in the blessed fullness of the power of the gospel within our souls. And so I trust that today that you're living in the power of the gospel. Do not be a defeatist. Do not lie down yielding to temptation and to sin, but rather rise up and live in the fullness and the blessedness of life in Christ Jesus. Do not rest until you get the victory and claim the promises and the power that is available to you in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. It is important that we understand that the gospel is the gospel of God's righteousness, that is, his own holy character upheld, men saved from their guilty condition, their hell-bound condition, by a gospel that is filled with righteousness. God did not abandon his righteousness in his program to save his people, but rather he, through the death of the Lord Jesus, gave us a provided righteousness. The life that Christ lived, the atoning blood that he shed, the sacrifice that he offered on the cross, was all a perfect payment for righteousness to satisfy the righteousness of God for all time, and to bestow a wonderful, perfect righteousness upon God's people. This is what makes us so excited about the gospel, and we rejoice in God's provision. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 187-9058 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.